Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. More than once in the Gospels, we encounter threefold challenges, or threefold questions, or threefold answers. Three times, you'll recall, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus challenges the disciples to stay awake, to watch and pray. Later on Maundy Thursday, in the courtyard of the high priest's house, Peter was asked three times by the servant girl if he knew Jesus. In answering her, Peter emphatically said no, he did not know Jesus. He denied him three times before the cock crowed. And in today's gospel reading, we heard Peter asked three times by Jesus if he loves Jesus, to which he said emphatically, yes. Some people have suggested that this represents a chance for the rehabilitation of Peter, in which his threefold confession of love for Jesus cancels out his threefold denial of Jesus. It's certainly an attractive way of interpreting Jesus's insistent questioning, not letting Peter off the hook. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It also echoes true that it was whilst warming himself by a charcoal fire that Peter so coldly denied himself. Now, in this gospel scene, by the Sea of Galilee, Peter is warm through the physical labours of fishing, and he stands by another charcoal fire, where Jesus is ready to feed him, and then puts those three questions of love, preparing Peter to be pastor to the church. And there's another three. St. John notes that this is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And in this resurrection appearance, Jesus will feed his disciples, quite literally, and he will commission them to the task of attractive mission, gathering people to Jesus Christ as fish drawn in by the fishermen. And to Peter in particular, there is that call to pastoral leadership in the community that gathers around the crucified and risen Lord, gathers called the church. And Peter's leadership will be exercised through feeding and nurturing the flock for whom Christ himself is the good and true shepherd. So we have a gospel of feeding, a gospel of leading, and therefore we might reflect on how Christ feeds and nourishes us, how we find our place within the body of Christ, the church, and indeed pray for those who lead us. This gospel invites us, like the beloved disciple, to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, out and about in the places where we spend our time, at work, at school, amongst friends, with family, or like St. Paul, breathing threats and murder on our journeys, whatever their motives might be, to see and meet the risen Christ and to declare on seeing his risen presence, it is the Lord. This gospel is also about recognition through Easter eyes. The disciples then saw and eventually recognized Jesus, but he had seen them first. It was daybreak, the dawning of a new day, that Jesus came to those seven disciples of his. Seven, another significant number, a number of completion, of creation, a shalom number of God's wholeness and peace. We're told the names of five of those disciples. And that seems significant in itself, because two of the disciples remain unnamed. We know nothing about them. And I want to suggest that gives us permission to insert our own names into this gospel scene, and the name of someone else, another companion in our Christian faith, perhaps a friend, a godchild, a godparent, or even one of our enemies, the people we find most difficult. Let's place them there too to meet the risen Christ. So there we are in that scene at the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus comes to feed and to commission. But first, there's something of a dramatic intervention. Peter, James, and John may have been career fishermen, they literally know the ropes, but their expertise had not yielded a single fish on their nighttime fishing trip. "Try the other side," Jesus says, as he says to us, perhaps, in St. Paul's words, "Try another way. I will show you a still more excellent way." For it was Jesus' word and redirection that blessed their endeavours and made them fruitful that morning. In our daily lives, Jesus Christ can guide and redirect us into the ways of life. We need to learn new ways and places of life in Christ, not just hang on to tired old assumptions about where life is to be found. We need to cast our nets on the other side. This is deeply relevant for us as a church and as individuals today. We hear lots of strategies for church growth from the Church of England at the moment, but these need to be preceded by the equipping and directing of disciples for that task. Otherwise, we, the church, will be like another group trying to haul in recruits, not quite knowing why, and then no wondering why we're not getting them or why they're not sticking. Likewise, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we must listen patiently and attentively to Christ, discerning his way and seeing that mission is by attraction and not by compulsion. Hence those threefold questions addressed to Peter and indeed to us. Do you love me? Are you willing to do this for me? Even then, rehabilitated by those questions, Peter's humanity shines through. He even has the nerve to feel hurt by Jesus asking him more than once, and indeed asking him three times. It's rather as if those bitter tears that Peter shed after his denials have been forgotten. Doesn't it show us just how quickly we can take offence when we know deep down it's us who are guilty? What's this declaration of love really about? Is it about us and ourselves? Or is it about our relationship with Jesus Christ, crucified and risen? So the fish are hauled in, a miraculous number, and Jesus fed those seven disciples on that seashore, just as he had fed 12 disciples in the upper room, just as he had fed 5,000 followers on the hillside. And faith tells us that these are not remote past acts. He fed them and he feeds us now, feeds us in his word and in bread and wine. And of course, it was another set of threefold questions in the wilderness that helps us to understand today how Christ feeds us. In one of those three temptations, Jesus is asked to turn stones into bread to show that he is the Son of God. And Jesus responds by quoting from Scripture, saying that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. That's consistent with his teaching in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," where we ask our Heavenly Father to feed us. That petition faces two ways. It directs us, yes, to bread, to the source of our material needs for bodily sustenance, just like the disciples were fed with fish. But it also directs us to God, the one who sustains and nourishes us in ways beyond bread alone. So then, what does the crucified and risen Lord ask of you and me today? First, he asks us lovingly and insistently to love him, to feed his church, to bless his church. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, if you do, then feed my sheep, and I will lead you into places you cannot now imagine. Second, he asks us not to assume our own expertise, that we know where we will find fish or find life, but rather he redirects our skills and our instincts for the good. Cast your nets on the other side. And finally, he asks us to recognize him in places and people where we least expect to find him, so that on our hearts and on our lips, as we go through the doors of this cathedral today, we can say, "It is the Lord." Alleluia. Christ is risen.